Join me in Ruth at the beginning of the second chapter. I will have for you the first 10 verses this morning. Hear the inerrant word of our Lord God. Now Naomi had a relative on her husband's side from the clan of Elimelech, a man of standing, whose name was Boaz. And Ruth, the Moabitess, said to Naomi, "Let me go to the fields and pick up the leftover grain behind anyone in whose eyes I find favor." Naomi said to her, "Go ahead, my daughter." So she went out and began to glean in the fields behind the harvesters. As it turned out, she found herself working in a field belonging to Boaz, who was from the clan of Elimelech. Just then, Boaz arrived from Bethlehem and greeted the harvesters, "The Lord be with you." "The Lord bless you," they called back. Boaz asked the foreman of his harvesters, "Whose young woman is that?" The foreman replied, "She is the Moabitess who came back from Moab with Naomi. She said, 'Please let me glean and gather among the sheaves behind the harvesters.' She went into the field and has worked steadily from morning till now, except for a short rest in the shelter." So Boaz said to Ruth, "My daughter, listen to me. Don't go and glean in another field, and don't go away from here. Stay here with my servant girls. Watch the field where the men are harvesting and follow along after the girls. I have told the men not to touch you. And whenever you are thirsty, go and get a drink from the water jars the men have filled." At this, she bowed down with her face to the ground. She exclaimed, "Why have I found such favor in your eyes that you notice me, a foreigner?" We'll end there, and I pray the Lord's blessing in the reading of His word. As you can see from the text, it is harvest time in Bethlehem. Ruth and Naomi need to support themselves, so Ruth went into the fields to glean, to pick up the grain left over after the harvesters in the fields. Now, this is a freedom, a right, if you will, that the poor and the alien had in this time to glean the edges of the field to pick up whatever might be left over. It was a provision in God's law to provide for the poor and the alien. Now, in God's providence, Ruth chose to glean in a field that belonged to Boaz. It's kind of humorous, but here in the text it simply says, "As it turned out, Ruth appeared in the field of Boaz." I don't know quite what to make of that with the Holy Spirit's writing of the text here, but it didn't just turn out. That's God's providence. But this is key. This is important. As we have said, Boaz was related to Elimelech, which makes it Ruth's. Elimelech is Ruth's father-in-law. And as we will see more particularly in the latter half of chapter 2, but most especially in chapter 3, this relationship between Boaz, Naomi, and Ruth, this is the key to the entire story of Ruth. This kinsmanship, this relationship, this is key. Boaz noticed Ruth. One author, one commentator says that it was love at first sight. That Boaz saw Ruth sitting under the tree or under the shelter and immediately was taken by her. But Boaz noticed her, knowing that Ruth is a relationship to Naomi, he went to speak to her. But notice the warmth of how he spoke to her. We see that Naomi referred to her as daughter, but Boaz did the same thing. Boaz referred to this young lady without ever having met her before, probably hearing of her, but not ever meeting her, and referred to her as daughter. And in all of this, he invited her to glean in his fields with his servant girls, to drink and to eat with the workers in the fields, and also gave instructions to protect her. This is a very big deal, if I can just put it simply. That here is a foreigner, here is someone that Boaz has just come to meet, realizing that it is a relative, but gives her this advantage in his fields and also provides for her and also for her protection. And as Ruth would later refer, Boaz noticed her, a foreigner, a foreigner. What were Ruth's actions? Let's look at Ruth leading up to this. She said to Naomi, "Let me go to the fields and pick up the leftover grain behind anyone in whose eyes I find favor." Now, this tells us a lot about Ruth. It tells us that Ruth knew the laws of God. She knew the laws of the Israelites. Someone, we think Naomi, someone had taught her. She knew that the Lord made provisions for the poor and the aliens in that land, that she could have right, has the right to go out and to glean in these fields. It says a great deal about Ruth. In Leviticus 9:19, it says, "When you reap the harvest of your land, do not reap to the very edges of your field or gather the gleanings of your harvest. Do not go over your vineyard a second time or pick up the grapes that have fallen. Leave them for the poor and the alien. I am the Lord your God." This is like a commandment given to those who own fields. Don't do such a good job cleaning the fields. Leave the excess lying around, because this gives the poor and the alien the access to your land for their need. What we see here in Ruth is Ruth stepping out in faith. By faith, she went into the fields to glean. She knew the law. She knew the provision. And so by faith in God's law and in God's provision, she told Naomi she would step out and go into the fields. She had no idea where she was going. And by faith, she expected God to hold up that law and provide for her and for Naomi. She didn't know who. She didn't know how. She didn't know where she might find that provision. She only knew by faith and her teaching, we think by through Naomi, the law. And she had faith in God to provide. By faith, she looked to God and his word and then moved out. What we see here at work is the providence of God. You know, we Reformed people like to speak of the providence of God. We like to think that everything is in complete orchestration by our God. There are some that have difficulty with that. Providence is defined this way in our Westminster Confession of Faith. God does uphold, direct, dispose, and govern all creatures, actions, and things, from the greatest even to the least, by his most wise and holy providence according to his infallible foreknowledge and the free and immutable counsel of his own will. Folks, God is a sovereign God, and he does indeed orchestrate the days and means and ways of our lives. It is, as we said last week, do we have eyes to see God working in our lives? The things that are about us, the things that come. As it turned out, Ruth found his way into Boaz's field. Well, no, it's not as it turned out. It was not a coincidence. God was directing these activities all along. Now, I pray that this brings us great comfort, that we worship a God who is sovereignly in charge and sovereignly in control of these things. Does that make me a weak person? Does that make me one who doesn't have the strength to survive and stand on my own? No, not at all. There are those that say Christianity is a religion for the weak. They need that strength of someone out there to provide for their weakness. I find no weakness at all in this. I find great strength to understand that I have a God who provides in all ways and always. Does not make me a weak person. The thing we need to understand is, just as Ruth, God is at work. We simply step out in faith and find where God is working. Ruth stepped out in faith and is dependent upon the grace of God. Ruth didn't know where she was going, but in faith she went. And now that she was looking for someone to show her that grace, as a poor widow and as an alien, And as a woman in this land, she was totally defenseless. She had nothing. But instead of following her father-in-law's pattern, instead of following what Elimelech did earlier by following his own wisdom, she continued to work in faith and depending on the grace of God. She was expecting God to answer her need. And in steps Boaz. Faith and grace, they go hand in hand. Faith and grace, they go hand in hand. Now we could stop here. We could stop here and take a look at Ruth and see her faith and say that is something we should emulate. That is something we as Christians should major in. We could look at Boaz and say as Boaz and do as Boaz did, providing for that person in need, being the graceful instrument of God, providing for that one in need. We could use these as models. I could close the sermon here and tell you to go out and emulate these. And indeed, there is something to be said of that. That is Christian to walk in faith. That is Christian to be that instrument of God's grace to that one in need. But if we stop there, this would simply be a good moral story. We have yet to see God fully. As we discussed in the weeks leading up to this, we looked at Naomi. We looked at Naomi's struggles and her faith. We identified Naomi as being the story of the human condition. We are all struggling in our faith. We are all struggling along in our lives. We falter. We do well. We don't do so well. We have questions and not really knowing where to turn, much like Naomi. In the story of Ruth's commitment, we began to see the love of a faithful heart loving another within the body of Christ. Ruth makes an incredible commitment to Naomi. She makes an incredible sacrifice to Naomi. And we said that that is God's love beginning to be shared. But that's still not all of the story. Here we see Boaz entering into the story. Boaz is the central figure of this story. Ruth gets the tribute of the book being named after her. And it is a great story of Ruth and her love and her commitment. But it is Boaz that is the theme, that is the central character. Boaz begins to provide for Ruth and Naomi. But even as much as Boaz is the hero here, providing for Ruth's nutrition, providing for her safety, there is still a limitation as to what Boaz can actually provide. When we move over into chapter 3, we're going to see Boaz come again and provide for Ruth and Naomi tremendously. But yet there is a limitation to Boaz's work. Here is where we are to look at this story in the larger context of God's story of redemption. We are to see Boaz as a foreshadow. And I've mentioned this before. As in the case with much of the Old Testament, the characters and the events in the Old Testament, they're always pointing to something bigger. That's why we have such a hard time sometimes with the stories of the Old Testament. We're reading through and we get caught up in all the names and we lose sight of the bigger picture of where and to whom it's pointing. Well, do not lose sight of who Boaz is pointing to here and his action of beginning to be the redeemer for Naomi and Ruth. Boaz, in his earthly attempts to redeem Naomi and Ruth, is providing a glimpse into the full redemption found only in Jesus Christ. You see, you and I are Ruth and Naomi. Pick one. And you're probably both, or either at any time, where we need help, where we need more than what we can do for ourselves, where we need something larger, something grander to step in and provide for us in our times of agony, of trials, of challenges. As I said in my prayer, this week has been an incredibly hard week. And the closer I got to this morning, the harder it got. But I knew when I got here, and I could begin talking about Jesus Christ, and I could begin talking about Jesus Christ here in shadowy terms of Boaz, but knowing that Jesus Christ is the Redeemer, He will be the one that takes this burden totally and completely. That's what we see in the foreshadow Boaz is bringing to Ruth and to Naomi. And just as Ruth began to look at Boaz as her Redeemer, we are to look in faith to the Lord Jesus Christ and His grace that is ours. And like Ruth, we are to move from that place of just sitting there waiting. Step out in faith. The other day I was up in the attic above the Sunday school room. I was talking to Jill and asking her if she needed some more chairs for her Sunday school classroom. All of them were full and there were some set. So I said, I think there's some upstairs in the attic. So one morning when it was cooler, I went up into that attic and flipped on the light. Well, you know how it is. Dark room, your eyes adjusting, stepping out. Well, I knew there was a floor there. I prayed there was a floor there. But I knew there was, because the guys working on the air handling units up there was a floor there. So I just walked out there, because I knew the floor was there. I couldn't see it, but I knew it was there. Ruth knew God was there. She didn't know how. She didn't know where. She knew the law. And the law represented God. And so she stepped out. Boaz, being that instrument. Again, this week a very hard week. Scotty and I have talked a couple of times, back and forth. It is when those around you remind you and bring to your attention again of the love and the care and the grace of God in times like these. Some of you, with your emails, with your texts, with your phone calls, with your text, with your cards, you were the Boaz, reminding me and Judy and Scotty, others of you, of the grace that is God. I'd like to draw it all down to this. Ruth made a statement here, and the first time I read this Monday morning, I knew this was the topic, this was the place I would go in this sermon. Verse 10. Look with me again at verse 10. Second half of the verse. Why have I found such favor in your eyes that you would notice me, a foreigner? Please put yourself in Ruth's position. She is a woman, a foreigner, literally, who had nothing. Her father-in-law, because of his name and the tribe and the clan relationship, gave her place in that community. He's dead. He's gone. Her husband, who would have fulfilled that name and given her place in that community, he's gone. Naomi still gives her a bit of a cling to that community, but not very much. Sorry, ladies. And so here she stands, with absolutely nothing. She is going out in faith to provide for herself and Naomi. But she is a foreigner in every sense of the word. Folks, that is you and I standing before Jesus Christ. By name, I am nothing before Jesus Christ. I don't have a name that gives me a position in His family. I don't have a name that gives me a position in His community. I'm standing on the outside without anything. More than that, just as the Moabites were enemies of the Israelites through much of their time, I stand as an enemy to the Lord God because of my sin. So not only am I a foreigner, I am an enemy foreigner to Jesus Christ. Very much like Ruth. I need someone's name. I need someone else's name in place of mine so that I would be then accepted by the Father. Boaz is going to give, a little glimpse into chapter 2 and 3, Boaz is going to give Naomi and Ruth a name, his name, so that they would then be accepted in that community. How will I be accepted by the Father? How can I, a foreigner, an enemy of God, how can I be accepted by the Father? I need someone else's name. Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ. This story, we could stop with the moralizations and y'all go do good, work hard. But when you look underneath, or let's back up. When you look overarching all of this, you see Jesus Christ all over it. He is the true Redeemer. This story is simply a foreshadow pointing to His work, pointing out our need. You know, when we do get to see Jesus Christ that day, we could quote Ruth here. You noticed me, a foreigner. Thank you. Amen.